Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mbappe stays put, Barcelona crack the code, and the dream begins. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 1st of September. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Yes, the biggest transfer window of all time has now been completed, with the news that Santiago Muniz has indeed moved to Newcastle.
The dream. The absolute dream.
The top story, sometimes they don't pick themselves, do they, Luke? But
no.
Today,
yeah.
Really felt like it picked itself.
Why do they continue to do this, Newcastle United? Just stay away. Just don't do the thing that people are going to ridicule you for.
Steve Bruce has also got so many kind of memeable photos and video contributions to the internet generally, that it can now be, any one of them can be applied to anyone in a different situation, which kind of exacerbates it as well.
I like the idea that, because, you know, there's a story about him doing the transfers, and that he was like, oh, there's the thing from the film, rags to riches story,
yeah,
you know, fighting against, you know, the powers that be and still triumphing, and he ends up signing R2-D2.
I thought you were going to say he watched Goal and thought that was the coverage of last year's transfer window. I thought, yeah, has he slipped through the net, that kid? Let's get him back.
I like this documentary. Really, really enjoying it. Yeah. I don't know. Why is it so mockable that Steve Bruce is doing his transfers as well? He pitches in. It's like, it's good when the boss makes the tea.
Yes, Luke. That's true. Don't look at me. I'm not neither the boss nor the best team maker.
So you see, because a lot of people use this tactic for tea, are you saying he's done this transfer window so badly that he'll never be asked to do it again?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, Real Madrid certainly have done that.
Yeah.
Haven't they?
Well, I don't think they make... They don't even have to learn how to make tea, so maybe that's why they've been busy with other stuff, including just offering specious amounts of money for Kylian Mbappe. We had a debate about this over WhatsApp.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a debate. You just were eating ice cream. I don't consider that to be you standing up and being counted in, you know, in the field of intellectual rigour. But
so I was just looking up specious. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, we were in the marketplace of ideas, but I was at the ice cream store.
Yeah. What flavour?
It was cookie dough, yeah. Haagen-Dazs cookie dough as well.
Oh, okay.
A special night.
I've got no time for it.
Not Ben and Jerry's? I thought that's the only cookie dough worth
it. But I think it's worth...
I've got no time for the new kids on the block.
The new kids being...
Your cookie doughs.
Your vanilla through and through?
No.
Raspberry Ripple?
No, yeah, I don't mind that.
Honest,
old-fashioned flavour.
I was eating cookie dough before you were born. People were eating cookie dough before you were born, no?
You weren't eating anything before I was born, were you?
That wouldn't make any sense. Anyway, the point is...
Doesn't eat anything now.
Kylian Mbappe was... The figure in the end was, what, 220 million euros. And this idea is that they're Real Madrid are making a play for Kylian Mbappe and they're saying, you know, next transfer window, we value so highly, Kylian. Look at all this money that we've offered for you. As much money as Neymar. But the fact is, they were never going to pay it and no one was answering their calls.
So basically, it's like some kind of... Brothers Grimm fairy tale. and the moral of the story is going to be they'll get him for free next year. Because you two take football a lot more seriously than me. So you have to for your job. Kat, you have to for your job as well. What help me to understand how this is happening. So Real Madrid apparently willing to pay more than 220 million euros on transfer deadline day for Kylian Mbappe, a player they could get for free for next year, or even could agree, they could probably agree a contract with him in January, presumably. Yeah. And PSG didn't even respond to their offer. What's the point of all this, other than just some kind of elongated theatre for the masses?
You know what I'm doing. You know what the gesture means.
What's that?
It's a penis on the table.
Why are you using it like a gavel?
Yeah, she was doing a gavel.
I know,
they're
yeah.
popping their cocks on the table. That's the idea.
Oh, so you mean, but that wasn't that?
Yeah, never say that and do that action again.
No.
Christ.
Felt that. Anyway, Rich, answer my question if you don't mind, because I'm pretty sure our listeners will want to know the same. And if you don't get this right, it's big trouble.
The way I saw it was, you know, as Mason said, her and I were debating it yesterday, and I didn't say that. I don't feel like this is the case, but it is the only reasonable thing that I thought, that they were putting a value on him when they wouldn't have to place a value on him in the summer, and they were basically showing we value the value X amount of money. I don't really believe that, and I think this transfer window we've seen that money isn't real anymore, and it felt a little bit like the way I would use my card at 3 a.m. just whatever, just like. It cost this much for a chicken burger and chips. That's the way I see it. It was almost like they didn't have to factor in how they would have to switch around their assets to obtain him if PSG called their bluff and went, fine, go on then, yes. Yeah.
But also, does it even count to just sort of shout numbers into the wind? Like, if you're not speaking to someone on the phone, is that really an, like?
I don't think it does. It might do, because we've seen how players, you know, instigate these moves themselves. They put some feelers out. They stop trading. They certainly don't score a brace on the weekend, as Mbappe did. And they make a show of being unhappy where they are because they know they want to be happier elsewhere. And Mbappe has talked in the past about how Real Madrid is a club that, I'm not going to say close to his heart, close to where he sees himself in the wider scheme of football. I do wonder, though, since he made those comments, I think he was at Monaco at the time, PSG coming in has completely changed the landscape. And by the fact that they cannot answer a call, when someone is even lying about sending them, every now and again I get an email from a dethroned Nigerian prince.
Yes.
And I think, you know what? What if this is the real one?
One of them might be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that
I can't believe
we
both know a dethroned Nigerian prince.
Yeah, I know, it's mad, isn't it?
Probably,
it might be the same.
Probably the same one.
We split the money.
Yeah.
But the fact that they can ignore that call says a hell of a lot about the football ecosystem.
Well, that's
right
the
now.
Other thing, isn't it?
Do you know what it looks like to me from the outside looking in? It looks like if you think about it, you could almost see Kylian Mbappe. I don't think it's too high-minded to say you could see Kylian Mbappe as almost a torchbearer between eras in football, right? And what I mean by that
it's
is
a great show, yeah.
Real Madrid are this old, storied, illustrious club, the most successful club in European football history. You know, go back decades and decades, and PSG are the new kids on the block, the nouveau riche, the people who are coming along trying to stamp their authority down the game in a load of kind of increasingly distasteful ways, right? I think what the reason PSG, if they didn't respond at all and didn't even entertain any kind of money, is because they're saying you can do everything you want, Real Madrid, to try and stamp your authority on football as a sport in 2021. But actually, we're here now.
Yeah.
And what this signifies of us being essentially belittled by you for whatever amount of money, because no football fan, you know, really cares about the money, as we've seen, no matter how we behave, if we accept that offer, and no matter how much we try and spin it about the money we're getting, one, money doesn't matter to us. And two, this is about more than that. It signifies more than that. So if Kylian Mbappe does want to go to Real Madrid and he refused to sign a new contract, we can't make him do that but it's going to be on our terms, not on yours. Mm. And the reason it's going to be on our terms is because we're here now and we're the future of this sport, no matter how distasteful it is, and you are the past, and you have to accept that. If we accept your offer, we accept that you are still the future of football, and we think we are.
Sorry, I also think that by letting him go for free, it opens him up to so many other clubs. You know, Real Madrid were probably hoping that if this was a genuine offer, then they would be the only team with access to have this chat with Mbappe, whether it went anywhere or not. Whereas in the summer, there are going to be so many more sharks feeding in that.
Yeah,
okay. We know that other clubs have shown an interest, and he's shown an interest in other clubs. You know, I remember him quite coquettishly speaking in English in an interview after a Champions League game a week after he'd been linked to Liverpool, and speaking in this charming English way, and Andy talking about it at the time, saying, you know, look, he's doing this on purpose because he knows he wants people to see that he can speak great English, and he knows that he'd be at home in England and the Premier League is an exciting destination, etc., etc. So there's all sorts of games going on.
It's also wondering about that figure as well, if we consider it to be just like demonstrative, do you think there's some significance to the fact that that was the number that was paid for Neymar? Is it a little gag?
Right, I didn't notice that. I didn't actually know off the top of my head the number that Neymar went.
That's it.
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
Do you think they also did that?
It's just
totally unaware of the fact that, you know, that maybe the PSG would think, oh, that would fill the hole. Whereas PSG are a bit like, oh.
We don't have a hole.
What hole? Yeah.
What is that? No. The hole is for the oil. Yeah. It's got oil coming out of it. PSG, what are you on about?
PSG, when it comes to the amounts of money being spent, are probably very much like, we have to account for this because people tell us we have to.
Yes.
Like, there's some kind of like legal reason for doing this, but we don't want to do it. Much like yourself in a chicken cottage late at night, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
You don't care, do you?
Worth a chicken. No biggie.
You don't want to look at the receipts the next morning, do you?
Exactly that.
Don't get a receipt.
No,
what are you getting a receipt? Yeah. No one gets it. Don't get a receipt. No. It's annoying how it tells you on the phone.
Yeah, I'll get like NatWest alerts now. I have to turn it off.
Alerts.
You have spent £80 on chicken. On which show, I think Barcelona probably need a few of those based on what the fuck is this Antoine Griezmann thing? Like, so last night they offloaded him to Atletico Madrid for 40 million euros. That is 2 years, fact fans, after paying 120 million euros to sign him, which they funded by taking out a short-term 35 million euro bank loan, mortgaging 85 million euros worth of future income. It's a complex sentence to say, but what it basically means is they've done something a bit stupid.
So this isn't a transfer signing, this is a repossession is what we're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People, if you don't keep up repayments.
Yeah, they're like, well, come on, we'll take him back then.
Are you his agent? Agent, bailiff, yeah. A lot of different names for us.
Play a bit of baseball, do you?
Do I legally have to let you in my house? Quick, close the curtains, turn the telly off. It's probably worth saying that Barcelona look very likely, if not certain, to start continue the season, if you like, I suppose, with Martin Braithwaite, Luke de Jong and Memphis Depay. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be the biggest Barcelona fan in the world to feel that's a little bit depressing. Yeah.
6 months in at Newcastle, de Jong, no goals. Mm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard place to score, though.
And people will follow up, expect me to follow up by saying, with all due respect to those players, I'm not going to do that.
No, don't.
We're talking about Barcelona here. You know, they're very, very, in my opinion, all three of them are very lucky to be there. I mean, the circumstances around Martin Braithwaite being at Barcelona are, for my money, absolutely ridiculous anyway.
Yeah.
He finds himself very fortunate to have been given the sanction to go there in the first place. But it does show you, I mean, we mentioned, I think, we either mentioned on the Patreon stream last night or we mentioned on the show yesterday, I can't remember which, that, big name players at Barcelona are having to take pay cuts anyway to be able to get other players that are coming for free to even sign.
And this is in the middle of the fact that what they really need is a rebuild, Barcelona. So yeah, you're right. And it's hard to feel sorry for them. But these football clubs, you know, look at places like AC Milan, like people can fall into disrepair. People
massively
can go from being European champions year after year to having the forward line, the aforementioned forward line. Yeah, it doesn't look like. And also Griezmann, it was a beautiful story playing with Messi. That's sad.
You also feel, I think to put it in perspective, you don't even have to say Man United or Spurs. If you were, I don't know, a team that's expected to finish in the mid to lower part of the Premier League this season, and that was your front three, you wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, they've all literally played that role, haven't they? Apart from Depay,
Depay's a good player, yeah, but Depay's he's mercurial. Good player. He's not someone you. I don't think you look at Depay, and I can say this because Andy's not here. you don't look at Depay and go, "That's my reliability right there. That's my 40 games a season man. He's going to do a lot for me," because you don't quite know what you're going to get. And then Braithwaite and Luke de Jong aren't top level. They're just not.
No, they're not. Yeah,
we're going to talk a lot more about this on an upcoming book club. Ooh,
very nice, exciting.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. But it does look as though things are a tiny bit chaotic in Spain. People are benefiting from it. Chelsea.
Yeah,
they got Sol on loan for the rest of the season after he was linked for ages with Manchester United. They missed out on Jules Koundé, but seems as though the London clubs in the main have had a good window, Vish.
They're doing stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what the fans want. Just do some fucking stuff. Yeah. No one cares.
Well, but, you know, wasn't it hilarious that like barely 6 months ago we were having that ESL demonstration and the remedy to all that was like, just spend some money, lads. Yeah.
Do it, but do it with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't leave. Yeah. Stay, but throw money that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible bit of business. It reminiscent of how they got Kovacic, but, you know, they actually want Saul. Kovacic felt like a bit of an afterthought, didn't it? And they, you know, they've lucked out because, you know, he showed himself to, well, he continued to be an excellent player. Whereas, yeah, Saul, I mean, he's exactly the kind of player we could do with at Manchester United in that midfield.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because he was linked with Man United. He's actually been linked with Liverpool and obviously Chelsea as well. So clearly he's a player that's been on the radar of Premier League clubs for a long while. But as a Man United fan, Vish, someone who knows Man United better than the rest of us, I mean, what kind of player are Chelsea getting here? And also, is it kind of tinged with regret that United didn't get him because they were distracted by the sideshow that is Cristiano Ronaldo? Was that too simplistic, do you think?
I don't know, actually, because I found it interesting that
he's clearly available, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Manchester United weren't ever linked with him in this particular window.
It was probably last summer.
So I suppose, you know, they're getting quite a bitey player. You're basically getting someone who has been ingrained with the soul of Diego Simeone.
I just think he's outstanding.
Yeah,
he's just good at everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's spot on. Like, I remember there was a player Manchester United were linked with a while ago at Bilbao called Athletic. I've got Brazil in my head there, apparently.
He looms up at the most inopportune moments, doesn't he?
Sporting Club de Portugal.
do the full name or don't make the point.
Yeah. There's a guy called Oscar DeMarcus, basically, who was this kind of all-action player who could play a bit of everywhere in the central of midfield. And I remember thinking, God, you know, I could really do with a player like that. Mm. And Saul Niguez reminds me of...
As Fred ran past with a bucket of water. Trying to chuck it on a fire.
Leave, he doesn't need to be picked on here too.
I like
gasoline, Fred. It's gasoline. I know it's clear. but he's got a bit of all that. He scored was it against Liverpool? He scored a brilliant solo goal, in one of the Champions League legs. Maybe it wasn't Liverpool, but yeah, he scored a brilliant goal. So he's clearly got the ability to play for feet. He can run with the ball, progressible forward, and he's just got that big bastard quality. Yeah.
That's what I mean. I feel like you're absolutely right about the Simeone point. He can stick his foot in, and he could definitely. He looks like the kind of profile of personality that will flourish in the Premier League. But I also feel like he's good at arriving late in the box as well. Like, and he's good at contributing going forward. He can kind of do a bit. That's what I said. He can kind of do a bit of everything. And I think if you're Chelsea, and you're already European champions, but you're looking to strengthen. And you're looking to build from a position of strength. I think Sal's an ideal player to sign. I just think he can perform at a number of different roles, and he's clearly top level, and he has been for some time. So it's a great signing for them. Great bit of business. It's kind of rare that because he wasn't really linked with Chelsea until very, very, very recently, and it's kind of weird that they just got their own way and didn't get any kind of competition to get him.
Yeah. They've been really crafty, Chelsea, like in a good way.
Although, yeah. Fan power still is very strong because on the subject of the Koundé transfer that didn't happen, Sevilla's account briefly lost its verification on Twitter yesterday as Chelsea fans reported it en masse in protest.
Fan power.
It's a beautiful story. Of people taking to the streets.
I quite rate that.
So do I.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. Arsenal signed this Bologna defender, quote unquote defender.
Yeah. That was weird.
Takehiro Tomiyasu for £16 million at the 11th. Is it right that Arsenal have spent the most money this window in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think so.
It would be, yeah. Because I think Man United briefly went above them with Cristiano Ronaldo. And now,
oh, and obviously Romelu Lukaku for Chelsea.
No, but Chelsea went in. I don't think Chelsea are the leading spender. I think it was Arsenal, then it was briefly Man United, and now it's Arsenal again, right. I believe. But I haven't checked again this morning. I haven't checked what our good friends over at Sky Sports are reporting on the, what do they call it? the total. Let's do it with the totaliser.
I think it's 5G. What coverage I saw yesterday.
But there was a really weird thing last night where one of the Sky Sports reporters was like, "Oh, I've just spoken to the agent of Takahiro Tomiyasu, and he says he's not really a right back or a centre back, and I'm not really sure how he's going to get on." And I was thinking, what kind of agent is he?
Yeah,
he's saying that now. You know, you're supposed to be bigging him up.
We got him from Europe, yeah, but the European Pro Tour, he's a golfer.
If I was his agent, I'd be saying he can play anywhere.
Yeah.
He can play anywhere.
What is that a new thing now? Like people reading off their phones? Has that been...
I don't think it's that new.
Okay.
I think it shows that you're demonstrating that you got contacts.
You're in the know.
People are calling
What's
you
happening,
up.
Mate?
Jim White always used to do it in the breaks.
So. Really?
Or even, he'd be like, "I'm hanging up," as we like come out of the bumper.
Yeah. Oh, does
when
he?
We
do
all know really that he was just.
Oh,
he
I like
just,
it.
He was just
I
finishing,
like Jim
finishing
White.
A snack, wasn't he?
You like Jim White. We all like
He's
Jim
always
White.
Been very good
the
to
time,
me.
The Time, sponsored by Accurate.
No, if you watch seriously, I mean, he's not on Sky Sports anymore, but if you watched closely, you could always see Jim White finishing a snack as the camera was coming back in. He would always be like doing this with his tea.
I think that's because he was just finishing his call. He was like, job done, boom. Sending a little text, just on air, home later.
I mean, it was quite stark, given that 3 weeks ago, a BBC News reporter was fielding a call from the spokesperson of the Taliban on air, and then seeing that yesterday, I was a bit like, put it away, just... Yeah.
Did it make you reflect on your own personal professional choice?
Okay, I mean, do you want to rest it back? Because Vish is now talking about the Taliban. So, I mean...
I wanted to talk about the bloody Taliban, but you cut it from the running order.
I was planning on using this as a way to stick the boot into Arsenal again. So, does anyone
mind? Carry on,
yeah, no, do it.
The reality
Bin Laden, big Arsenal fan, famously, of course.
Fair. The reality is that a player like Tomiyasu, if he was top level, to use Jamie Redknapp's phrase, wouldn't be signed for Arsenal at this point, because you have to have rocks in your head to look at what's happening at Arsenal and go, I want to go there. Right? There's two reasons they're going to sign. One is because they're going to offer him a load of money, and two, because no one else wants him. It's a fact. I'm sorry. I don't take any pleasure in it.
I take no offence. You say what you want.
I take a little bit of pleasure in it. But is that how you see it, Vish? Is that your read?
Well, so, someone made a similar point a couple of days ago that they were slight. I think it was an Arsenal fan. He was slightly worried by the fact that all the players they had signed, there was no competition to sign them.
Oh, God.
And often, you know, that's sometimes other interest doesn't become public because the deal is done early enough that it you know, doesn't really benefit anyone.
Yeah,
so we don't know if other people were or were not interested in them. I saw the Tomiyasu signing, as you know, just speaking to people who know about him. I genuinely didn't know anything about him until his name was doing the rounds the last couple of weeks.
And his agent texted you as well.
Yeah, he did. Actually, I shit my phone's outside. I should have gone through it.
Very professional.
That's how you do it. But the I didn't really know anything about Tomiyasu until he started being talked about over the last few weeks. But you know, speaking to people who had covered him at Bologna and were like interested in how he was. I suppose where he was going to go, they do say that Arsenal are getting like quite an exciting young player and probably buying him at the right time, because I think he's also at the age of, you know, being 22, where people aren't really sure whether to make the move for him or not, maybe to give him another year or two in Serie A to see how he develops. And Arsenal are just going to pull in the cord early.
Yeah,
and of course going to London, all
that's
the stuff that
point.
Comes with
that's
it,
a fair point.
You know, the big transition and the change in where you're living. Last one on Arsenal probably before we go to the break. Old Hector Bellerin finally got his move away.
That's sad.
The
isn't
Premier
it?
League is poorer for it, surely, in both aesthetic and, you know, emotion.
Yeah.
And the environment. I suppose he's still in the world, isn't he? So he can still have an impact.
That's true. Actually, I might start following Real Betis.
But my fear is we're not going to hear
it's
him.
It's a loan,
speak.
By the way.
Right. So he could come back. Keep an eye on it, see what happens. We're not going to hear him speak in English much anymore, which is a sad thing because he's got one of the best English speaking accents in world football.
Do you think we're going to hear Ainsley Maitland-Niles speaking English much soon?
Oh, poor old Ainsley.
Probably muffled from the cupboard. Yeah.
He's had a terrible week.
I love it here.
He's had a terrible week. First of all, he has to take to Instagram to say he wants to go. Secondly, he gets put below Pete's nipples in the running order on the Ramble yesterday. And thirdly, he's woke up this morning and still at Arsenal. So it's a triple whammy.
The thing we should say about Bellerin, it's quite cool that his dad is a Betis fan. It was one of the first shirts he got when he was living
nice.
In Spain. So it's pretty cool.
Good on him. I wish him all the best. He seems like a good lad.
Okay, that is charming. And the air is clear at Arsenal. That's the main thing. Yeah. No matter what they say, Luke Moore, the air is clear. Let's go to a break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. It's transfer deadline day. Ashwood City are drifting under manager Sven-Göran Eriksson, and chief executive Patrick Nolan is willing to do whatever it takes to turn things round.
Oh, look, it's just for a season or two, you know. We get them really cheap, you know, 10% of what they're worth in some cases, and I mean, the sponsors it would attract as well as the cachet.
Patrick Nolan, MBE, stop talking. This is a fucking Tevez and Mascherano player heist, pal.
In the award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, the thick of it meets the Premier League, and things are about to reach breaking point in the boardroom.
That's the rules, Woody.
Oh, so now we like the rules, do we?
Woody, you can't just move a piece and make up how to play.
Oh, well, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
No, move that back.
Fucking get off. Don't touch my pieces. You're cheating.
What,
Cheating! That's an invasion of my pieces, that. Stop fingering my bishop. You don't know where he's been.
It's not... Oh.
Start your Ashwood City journey and listen to The Offensive wherever you get your podcasts.
The Offensive is a Stack production.
De Bruyne. De Gea. De Arby.
Oh, it's a tough job. It's a tough job. So you're out of order laughing there.
It's one of those things that looks so much better written down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Great to have you with us on the morning after deadline day, or the afternoon after deadline day, or whenever the fuck you want to listen to us. Now it's time for some of these.
Show at footballramble.com. Show at footballramble.com. Jules, Fish and Jim Campbell, the three A's of the football ramble. Luke Moore is kind of sore. Pete Dowson, give me breaks on. Andy Brassel plays the asshole. Kate Mason, hot takes. Marcus Speller, we'll put a spell on you. Show at footballramble.com. Show at footballramble.com.
Andy Brassel plays the asshole.
He's done very poorly out of that.
No, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Kate Mason, hot takes. I'm kind of sore, which is fair enough.
That's actually quite kid. What are you, Vish? I miss
him. I don't know.
Do you remember?
I don't think I'm banded in with
you're
three
my
other
favourite,
people.
It's fine.
There's also another emoji where you get, it's all about
all
you,
it.
Basically.
Is it? Where's that one?
We don't play it when you're on it.
It seems to have been deleted off the iPad.
We're already worried about your temperament.
I think I've got it on my phone, actually.
Right, Darius has been in touch. Of course, it is Wednesday today, so we tend to do a little bit of an agony aunt slash uncle section, answering the problems that our listeners email us in with. So, Darius, you're up today. Mm. This is a follow-up to an email we had last week about removing a banana tree I was on that show as well, actually, so I'm probably the only banana tree, well, at least I've got experience in banana trees on the show in the studio today. Darius says, when I was 8 years old, we had a very odd neighbour living next door. One day, while my dad and I were on our way to the park, this neighbour called us out to come and have a look at his banana tree.
Oh, my God.
Not a euphemism, an actual banana tree, although God knows where he got it. It was planted in his front yard. My dad did what any normal father would do when faced with the same scenario and simply replied, "It looks great," in an attempt to get away as quickly as possible. The following morning, our family woke up to find this very banana tree planted in our own backyard. Yes, our neighbour decided he would move the tree in the middle of the night, breaking through our locked side gate in the process, and simply picked out a spot in our back garden that he thought suited the tree best. Because this sort of thing doesn't happen very often, my dad decided to raise it with the neighbour. The 8-year-old me could hear his voice over the fence saying, "Well, you told me how much you liked it yesterday. I thought you wanted it." Fortunately for my dad, the tree died almost immediately, as I don't think it liked being uprooted and replanted at least twice in a day.
Oh, my Darius.
So maybe we could pair Darius up with our listener from last week and put these two things together and say, simply go in there and remove the banana tree yourself. That appears to be what you do with banana trees.
Yeah.
What would he have done if he was to, "Oh, I've met your wife there, this. She's really nice."
What, planted her in the garden? You can't do that.
That is really weird behaviour. Mm.
It does. I like the way he says, because this sort of thing doesn't happen all too often.
No.
Darius, do you want to write us in another one about similar things that have happened to you?
There was a big row in my street growing up because my next door neighbour on one side had walked past my next door neighbour's house on the other side and pulled the rose heads off his rose bush. Right. Now, the reason he did it is because he was a really keen gardener. And he said that they're dying. If you pull the heads off...
Deadheading.
Yeah, you'll deadhead them. You'll get better ones through. But this other guy wasn't having it. And he was like, "You don't fucking come in here and you touch my fucking roses. None of your business. If I want shit ones, I'll have shit ones. Nothing to do with you." Which I kind of agree with. But anyway, so I'm just saying this kind of thing...
It's trying to be helpful, though.
It might happen more often.
I've taken off your wing mirrors. Better ones can grow back, don't worry.
Exactly. I've been waiting a year. Still not on there.
This is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I have an email from Ben. "I'm going to uni," which brings me to the obvious question for a group of quote-unquote journalists who chat about football. What do I need to know for uni? I'm going somewhere in London and I'm a bit trepidatious.
Would it be... I'm a bit offended by the inverted commas thing.
So does he want to do what we do? Or does he want to know what it's like to go to uni in London?
I don't think trepidatious is a word, just as a first starting point.
Stop saying that for a start.
Yeah, which I wouldn't have said if he hadn't quote-unquoted us journalists.
Don't use big words that don't exist to show off.
Yeah.
Would be point number one. Big. I mean, I don't know if trepidatious does exist as a word. I'm not getting involved. Apparently it is a word according to our producers. So
it is a word, you dickheads.
Yeah, there you go. Well, listen, I was going to say Kate's probably the best to advise you, Ben, because she went to Cambridge. But
I don't know if that's a very clear...
She didn't fucking learn anything by the sound of it.
I was going to say, let's edit the email and let's put the quote-unquote in bold there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't feel as though Cambridge is necessarily the best preparation for going to university, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a good shout.
What was the one thing you learnt from uni that you would like to pass on to the younger generation?
I don't know, because I enjoyed everything outside of my course, because my course has no relevance to me right now. And I don't mean that in a laddie-laddie way. I mean that in a sense of I should have chosen a bit better.
Yeah,
what were you, like an engineer or something?
Chemical engineering.
Yeah, chemical engineering.
Cool.
Yeah. There'd be more chemistry in the studio as a result.
You learn so much as a chemical engineer. What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. That's why I'm here. What did I just say?
You hate money.
You make it sound like it was a choice that I made. Yeah.
Turns out some of those chemical engineers were really good.
That stuff's dangerous, isn't it? Yeah. I would say... I mean, treat it like prison a little bit. You know, a lot of people are trying to reinvent themselves when they go to uni. Freshers week is crucial. Yeah, one of the biggest mistakes I made at freshers week was that everyone at school called me Vish because my year three teacher said, "Oh, I'm going to call you Vish as a nickname." I didn't like it, but weirdly, all my close friends started calling me Vitu.
Right.
So I was like, "Oh, I much prefer that." So obviously, going to freshers week, I was like, "Oh, this is it. This is my do-over."
Yeah.
And first thing, like, "Hi, my name's Vish." I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, right.
And I was like, I can't be the guy at Freshers Week with two nicknames.
Yeah.
No. Got to be given one
of
them at
least. Do you want us to call you Vitu?
No, because now I prefer it when my actual friends call me Vitu and I can keep my acquaintances as Vish.
So. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No,
I think I might go. This and the Mutter Rolls thing. I am absolutely... That is scathing.
But basically, get it... get your nickname sorted, even if you want a new nickname, and stick to it.
I think it's lame to have a new nickname when you go to university. One of my best friends tried to do that, and every time he introduced himself, because I already knew him before, obviously, every time he introduced himself to a new person with his new snazzy nickname, I'd be like, that's not his name.
Yeah, I also...
We got on really well for the whole of university.
I shockingly, I think you're right. I think the best nicknames come organically from other people. You shouldn't give them to yourself.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, Ben, basically. Don't stress. Don't waste your time. Have a good time.
Look, B-Town, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Get pissed, do shagging. That's the stuff.
I think we've done more on this than we did on Kylian Mbappe. Well, that's how much we value our listeners.
Our listeners. So if you've got any questions for us, keep them coming in and we'll get to them every Wednesday and give you the benefit of our really sage advice. Show at footballramble.com.
I was going to say questionable wisdom.
Or tweet us at footballramble. Right. Solomon Rondon then. Should we give him his dues?
Yeah,
he's been
why not?
Snagged by Everton on a free from Dalian Professional. I don't know if I should be pronouncing professional differently, but whatever. He said he couldn't wait to be reunited with Rafa Benitez. What a beautiful love story, Luke.
It is. It is one of the great modern football love stories, along with Redknapp and Kranjkaia, Jim Smith and... who was Jim Smith? Dion Burton. God, I'm going back there, right into the depths of my memory bank there. But Jim Smith and Dion Burton used to go everywhere together. In a football sense, Redknapp and Kranjkaia, as I've said. I like the fact that Salomon Rondon's going to be back in the Premier League because he looks like a Venezuelan Paddy McGuinness. And that
is
the most important thing.
McGuinness has had quite a lot of coverage on recent football rambles, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Let the striker see the goal. Yeah. That's something he says, isn't it?
Because he's genuinely not very popular, that's why, among some members of the ramble. And you'd have to, maybe you have to subscribe to Patreon to find out why. I don't know. But I also like the fact that Rondon is someone who...
$5 a month?
He clearly likes working with... Well, that's what Paddy McGuinness is worth. If Rondon likes working with Benitez that much, good luck to him. He doesn't actually score that many goals. I know he offers you a bit more, but he's when I've seen him play, it's not been at a club, with due respect to West Brom, it's not been at a club that have got the ambitions that Everton clearly have. I wonder if this is a bit more of a kind of complicated conversation at Everton, saying, and them say, well, why do you want Rondon? I mean, look at his profile, look at his age, look at his
What do you think?
Record.
Benitez is laying the smack down. He's being like, I want him. I don't get, I've said it, get him.
It is massively a Rafa Benitez signing, right, Vish? Surely you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, but his last season at Newcastle, he was very good and he looked proper well-rounded player. He was doing all the kind of beefy barging at defenders and running into channels, but also doing the goal stuff, which is quite important.
12 goals in all competitions for Newcastle United.
And as we say, it's not an easy place to score.
Yeah, yeah. So
is that good?
I think his last season was his most productive, and I think if he's not going to start ahead of Calvert-Lewin, he can't play any other position than through the middle. And I wonder if it's just a good backup signing. And we always talk about you mentioned a couple of players there. Managers always like the player that they can trust who go into.
Oh, I get
team,
it. I'm not belittling it. I get why. Yeah.
And I wonder if there is a little bit of he kind of gets it, and like he will have a. Having dealt with him at Newcastle, maybe he will know a bit more about his personality and whether it'll be infectious enough to kind of spread Rafa's message, as it were. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what he's thinking. I do agree. Well, how old is he now? What, he's 30, 32? Yeah, 32. Obviously he's not got legs. He's not got the ceiling, as it were. So there are reasons beyond the football pitch, which I know sounds fucking stupid when you make
I think that's really important. We've spoken about that quite a lot. James Rodriguez still kicking around, but he did. And there's a lot of social media activity that's been quite enjoyable around this transfer window. He's taken Everton off his Instagram bio.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't even know who Everton were playing last week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a huge surprise.
Football
is it?
Players aren't football fans, really, though, in the main, are they?
That's true, yeah.
Everton also linked with Odson Edouard, who we mentioned yesterday. He has joined Crystal Palace from Celtic for a fee that could rise to £18.5 million. So, actually, Luke, you were wrong that he was only worth whatever it was.
I think I said he was worth about £10 million.
And everyone went
mad.
I
got absolutely bombarded by people who support Celtic linking him to like Barcelona for £35 million or something.
He's a really good player who can score lots of goals.
Sure.
Brackets in this. Yeah, anyway.
I think he's a great sign for Palace. I really do.
Me too.
He's got a lot of potential. Clearly, an improving player. Clearly, they're hoping he will flourish in a more competitive league. And Crystal Palace need someone. So I get it.
Yeah, and he's offered something different to their forwards. You know, Benteke is obviously, everything works around him, if that's a, you know, a decent way of putting it. But Eduardo's a bit more, he's sprightly, which you'd expect from someone who's, you know, what, 10 years difference between them. But I suppose it's not quite the Tomiyasu thing, but a lot of people have been sniffing around Austin Edouard for a while. And I think they were waiting to see, right, you know, do we really, because, you know, do we see the SBL as a competitive measure of how good a striker will be in the Premier League? And yeah, fair play to Palace. It's part of their, you know, I suppose, you know, diversifying their age profile, and they've gone for him. And yeah, I think it's quite exciting.
I feel a bit sorry for the old owl because they've spent over £60 million this summer, which is as much as they spent over the past four summers.
Yeah.
That's kind of because of him, though.
It's a big change. I do think we perhaps need to not entirely rehabilitate Christian Benteke's reputation, but given what you've just said about Rondon.
Do we have the power to do that?
Similar profile of player in Benteke. He got 10 Premier League goals last season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think of him entirely as a completely busted flush, which I totally understand. I mean, the season before that, what was it? One or two goals or something like that. And he felt like he was a player who was completely out of time and wouldn't have a future in the Premier League. I think he deserves credit for notching up double figures in the Premier League last season, given what he's been through and given the situation he had with his confidence and how difficult he's found it. I wonder if we get the same again and he can dovetail with Edouard in some kind of way, or they work out a way of how they're going to kind of share the load. It's not the end of the world.
No, not at all.
I feel like there's a lot of change happening at Palace at the same time. And I definitely think that their last result was a creditable result and they deserve credit for that talk, clearly. I wonder how it's all going to shake out with Palace this season.
Be good to see how far they can go. 13th. Emerson Royal, quick check-in on Spurs. Emerson Royal just signed. Oh, this is more chaos in Spain, isn't it? Because he was presented as a Barcelona player on August the 2nd. Daniel Porter said at the time, Emerson has a €300 million release clause.
No way's Levy played that.
So no way. He's here at Barcelona for many years. Just 29 days later, he's left for Spurs for £26 million. Mm.
And if they had paid £30 million, they could have got a Royale with cheese.
Hey, I'm having that.
Yeah,
I am having that.
Me and Pete road tested that one in the office yesterday. We didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday. a tribute to Don, so I'm doing it today.
Yeah. All right,
fan of that.
It is good.
Are you sad to see the back of Serge Aurier?
Mad Serge, we hardly knew ye.
He was your best attacking right back.
I saw him score once.
Wow, good for you.
He's got a couple of good goals.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and he celebrated it. Well, I always felt good when he did good stuff because you always knew he had a bit of a wreck in him.
Yeah.
The pro column, you've put very good attacking right back. In the cons column,
let's get sent off.
Capable of anything.
Yeah.
Anything on or off the pitch.
Yeah, when people say that he's the kind of player who can do something out of nothing, that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
You don't want that in a chemistry lab, do you?
Yeah. You want someone to house sit you. It's like, well, why is he. Well, he does something out of nothing, doesn't he? It's like, well, it's exactly the opposite to what I need right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me Matt Doherty, house sitting. He seems a lot more solid.
He's gone missing.
What? Yeah. He's out of position. He's in the attic again.
Fond memories. Thanks a lot, Serge. That's what I say. And he's had a bit of a tough time as well, obviously, as we know. But yes, good. Seems like a fairly decent transfer. A really quite decent transfer window for Spurs. Five in, lots of
the
people
moves.
We needed to get rid of.
They've made moves.
Yeah, and in amongst all of this chicanery and fun, FIFA have published a report looking back on the transfer market over the last decade. So that covers between 2011 and 2020. What have we learned from this? English clubs were responsible for a quarter of international transfer expenditure. Agents get a lot of money.
Yeah.
Manchester City are the top people. They spent the most money on transfers over the course of that period. But they never have any money to spend, says Pep Guardiola.
What,
it's very confusing.
What was the purpose of this report, Vish?
I don't really know. Yeah. I know that FIFA are trying to get a grip on things like not just agent fees, but also fees that end up being owed. For example, you know, not necessarily sell-on clauses. You know, there are different types of clauses where the team that trained a player would be, you know,
compensated,
but they might be compensated kind of three moves down the line. Mm. So they're basically, you know, FIFA Clearinghouse was founded in August 2019, I think. And they're trying to make it all a bit more transparent, get a better hold on it. And there's no one better than FIFA for that job, in my opinion. I don't really know. I think this is the kind of thing they do every decade anyway, and I think it's obviously incredibly more pronounced now, but you know, I see these figures and I gawp at quite a few of them, and then I also think, well, nothing's going to be done about it. It's, you know, people write a few articles and that's it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm wrong in this, and maybe this is more about me than about FIFA, but I feel like anything FIFA or UEFA do is in some way geared up to score a point off the other.
Yeah.
So like, you know, FIFA want to do an extended World Club competition because they're, you know, threatened by the expansion of the Champions League or the potential Super League or whatever. You know, UEFA want to squeeze, you know, international football because they're all about club football. And then in return, FIFA want to do World Cups every 2 years. You know, and do you know what I mean? Mm. All this kind of stuff tends to happen.
Do you think that's... are you likening this to the government report into institutional racism?
Yeah, a little bit. but on this specific issue, the point remains that clearly now we have two very distinct types of football in the sport that we love, right? And that is... the very top take. No, don't worry about... there's no point worrying about English football or French football or Spanish football or German football, Italian football. It's a distraction, right? It's homogenised now, really, in terms of style of play. But in terms of the differentiation between types of football, it's actually wealthy clubs and the rest.
Yeah.
And £9 billion spent, I think, by English clubs across this period. And we have clubs in the Football League in this country going to the wall over and over and over again. It's horrifically imbalanced. The European Super League would have made it worse. My fear, though, is actually it doesn't matter because you're going to get a European Super League through the back door somehow. Mm. In fact, you could argue, and I've argued this in the past before this latest iteration came out, that we've almost really got one anyway, and it's the Champions League. And you know, Manchester City are a team, for example. PSG are another one that are openly and clearly prioritising the Champions League over their own domestic league competition anyway.
Yeah.
So it depends which way you look at it when you talk about a Super League and when you talk about this money being spent. It's being spent by the top clubs for those ends. And the only exception to that, I would say, is probably Germany, where they do things a lot differently, which I'm sure we don't have time to go into now.
Well, I'll tell you, though, what they do say about it. Mentioned Gladbach's sporting director, who could put it better than this? The Bundesliga is the island of the thrifty. At some point, you will ask the crucial question, do we want a strong Bundesliga or do we want to pee with the big guys?
So well, they haven't got a strong Bundesliga anyway.
Surely you don't want to pee with the big guys because the big guys might make you look...
Yeah, I mean, this
go to the cubicle.
Yeah, but that quote from that sporting director misses the point anyway because they don't have a strong Bundesliga because Bayern Munich win it every season. And secondly, I was referencing specifically the ownership model and the protection that most clubs, if not all clubs, get from the model they've adopted within their nation's football league structure, which doesn't exist here and doesn't exist in Spain and doesn't exist in France. So it's a slightly different situation. It's an interesting thing for me because I know I've been talking a lot, but very, very quickly, I've been doing the rounds since 2007. I remember one of the very first shows we made, we talked about how unsustainable this was, yet almost 15 years later, we're still here. Mm. So maybe we're just wrong. Maybe it's just going to be like this forever.
And it's totally sustainable.
Yeah. But it's not. What has changed is the amount of football league clubs that are in financial jeopardy directly as a result of it and moves that have been made since, like EPPP and that kind of stuff.
But the astonishing thing as well, to tie it all in a beautiful little bow, as we come to the end of this latest episode of The Ramble, is that Barcelona spent on three of the top six transfers over the last 10.
Look at them now.
And look at them now. Look at them fly, baby.
On the other hand, we've never been closer to being able to play for Barcelona. So look at it that way.
Ooh.
Yeah. Affordable. You know, admittedly zero resale value for me because I'm 40. Maybe not so much Vish and Kate. You guys are a bit younger. Maybe you're having the...
I don't think I have a resale value. Although I just got a press release saying that one in every 6,000 people in the UK is a footballer.
I don't think professionally.
In the loosest term, yeah.
Tell Barcelona that, cheer them up a bit. It's a fertile ground for players.
Masquer and shambles.
Yeah. All right, lovely stuff, Luke. Nice to see you. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, great to see you guys too.
Say goodbye, my friend Vitti.
Goodbye.
Thanks, guys. On tomorrow's show, it is Marcus, Pete and Jim. We'll see you then.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer.
Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.